He loves you. He loves you to the utmost. Not just last week, we talked about the resurrection. Praise God. Jesus is alive. We still got the sign up here. I'll probably keep it up there until the day of Pentecost is fully come. Amen? Because we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded, people, that Jesus is alive.
Amen.
All right? And in his resurrection, in his power, he's given us certain things. Amen? Through the power of Christ. Yes, my sister. Oh, you're all right. Praise God. There you go. I hear you, my darling. I got to get used to that because we let folks talk here, you know, somewhat. Amen. Amen. Miss Marianne, ain't that true?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So, anyhow, in the midst of all that, we need to know that Jesus asked some things of us.
Amen.
And the biggest thing he asked of us is to follow him.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about that today. Following Jesus. What that means, and Jesus told this to Peter, and we'll get to that here in a moment. Let me go to the Lord in prayer, because I'm about ready to let my flesh run off with this thing. So I need to, where's my wool man? She went in there to teach the kids. So anyhow, I need some wool man right now. My man's taking off, so I got to get the spirit running here. Dear Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. I pray that the next few moments that my mouth will not speak anything except the oracles of God. Father, I pray that you would change my mind and make it yours, Father. Make your words flow. I pray that as your words flow, and I expect that, God, I thank you for it. You said if I ask, you'd do it. So I'm asking even now, Lord God, that as I speak the word of God, you speak to the church.
Amen.
Father, that it's not me that's seen, that it's you that's seen. It's not my words that are heard, it's your words that are heard. Father, prepare our hearts to be followers of the Most High God. Lord, we love you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, as I said, if we're going to title this anything, it would be Follow Me. We know that last week the resurrection happened. You know, we talked about that. We do know that for the next 40 days, Jesus walked on this world. We don't know a lot about what he did. The scripture doesn't say a whole bunch of what he did. There's very little about those 40 days actually recorded in the Word of God. But we do know from the book of Acts, Luke, this is not our scripture that we're going to go to, but this is our scripture to let us know that he was doing things. Amen. And this gives us some parameters about where we'll be talking. And Luke, talking to the fellow he was writing to, I can't call his name right at this moment, until the day which he was taken up, after that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto his apostles, whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking pertaining to the kingdom of God. In that little bit, that those two verses right there in Acts chapter 1, as Luke is writing, and he's telling them, until the day which he was taken up. So for the next 40 days, he allowed his commandments through the Holy Ghost to be given to his apostles. He was continually teaching, but he wasn't teaching just anything. He was teaching about the kingdom of God, all the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Right? If you know that you're about ready to take a leave, you're going to go somewhere, and you're going to leave something for your apostles, for everybody to hold on to until you return, you need to make sure you're telling them what is most important. The most important thing that we will know on this earth is this: there's a kingdom outside of this earth.
Amen.
There's a kingdom, and if you are born again, you are promised to be in that kingdom with him. But first, you must be born again.
Amen.
Because if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven or anything in it. You can't even wrap your mind around it.
Amen.
So he was talking to his apostles. This is before the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is before the day of Pentecost. This is before all that stuff. And he was speaking to them, and he was telling them, expounding to them, the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Well, we need to teach that. I think the church, in our day and time, has been teaching something other than the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We've been teaching the doctrines of men. We've been teaching doctrines of demons. We've been teaching a convenient gospel. Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. You know, that's what the majority of the teaching in the churches today are: a convenient gospel, not the real gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
So by the grace of God, we're going to get back to the basics. Amen.
Amen.
We'll be teaching out of John chapter 21. So if you'll just move over to John chapter 21, I'm going to read pretty much the whole chapter. Amen? As there's not a bad bit in it. Amen? So it's chapter 21, verses 1 through 23 is what I have marked on my paper. And then we're going to back up and talk about it. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, We shall also go with thee. And they went forth, and they entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And when Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now there were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded himself his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. And he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon as they were coming to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid upon thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto him, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net unto the land full of great fish, 153, and for all there were also so many, and was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus came and taketh the bread, and he giveth them, and fish likewise. And now this is the first. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto them, Feed my lambs. He said unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. And he said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter grieved because he had unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This he spoke, signifying by the death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Blessed be the word of the Lord. We have a great account here. And I've heard this account of Jesus broken down into mouth-sized bits my whole life. But we're not going to talk about it in little bitty increments. There's a lot of things that he did. But what Jesus did most of all, he talked to people exactly where they were.
Amen.
And he used the whole account. This is a whole teaching here. It's not just a little bit about them fishing. It's not just a little about them going and doing what they wanted to. You got to take Scripture as a whole.
Amen.
To really get a hold of it. So we're going to back up and we're going to slow down and go back over this teaching one more time. Because I think there's a lot of important things throughout the whole Scripture here that we can apply to our life right now.
Amen.
And I think if we apply these things to our life right now, we can be equipped to follow Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? That's what this whole body of Christ is about. I'm here to equip you. I'm not here to walk for you. I'm here to teach you how to follow Him. Amen? That's what a pastor's job is. I'm not to walk for you. I'm not here to beat you up about it. I'm here to express what God wants for the body of Christ in the day that we live in. Amen?
Amen.
So as we go back and we look over this, Peter decides that he wants to go back to his old way of living. He wants to go back and be a fisherman. How many of you here, after you got saved, right, said, man, I want to go back? Yeah, I did. I wanted to go back and land floors. Because this is hard. Laying floors, I have control over my life. Peter, when he was fishing, he had control. Yes, my brother.
No, I just raised my hand. What you
have. Oh, amen. Praise God. I got to get used to that. And so most folks, when they raise their hand, they got something to say. But anyhow, praise God for that. Now, Peter, what he was saying is, I want to go back. I want to go back. When I first got saved, what I wanted to do, when I first got called into the ministry, not just saved, but had a special calling on my life, what I wanted to do more than anything else was go back to something I could control. I can control a wrinkle in your rug. I'm a foreign scholar. I can do that. Right? I can control some things. When I work with my hands, I can control some things. Peter thought that he could control fishing because he knew how to fish. He knew where the fish were. He knew how to do that. But what happened when he got him and his buddies back into the boat, into their old way of life? They toiled all night and caught nothing. Guess what happened when I thought that I could pastor and install floors 100% of the time? I was doing nothing but spinning my wheels. I wasn't being a good pastor, and I wasn't being a good floor installer. All right, and God laid on my heart, Curtis, do you love me? Then you need to do something. Make up your mind today who you're going to serve. You can go back and you can be a fine floor installer. You can do that for the rest of your life. I will bless you in that. But all you're going to earn is money. Right? Or you can follow me. And if you follow me, you may not have a lot of money in your pocket, but I'm going to bless you beyond all the wealth of this world.
Praise.
So what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Do you really want what God has for you, or do you just want what you want? Unfortunately, most folks in America today, I want what I want.
Exactly.
But I tell you, you'll never know joy until you know the following of Jesus Christ. You'll never know peace until you really follow Jesus Christ. And in this turmoil, when they were going about this, he got the seven of his other disciples, they all got in the boat. See, when the leader goes out, how many people follow him? Amen. You think about how many false teachings are going on in the church today. Right? All the fake things that are being told. How many people are following them? The most.
Amen.
The most. All right. Why are they following Peter? Because Peter was the head at that time. I mean, they all looked up to Peter. People do not follow me unless I'm following Christ. If I'm following Christ, you can follow me. But quick as I step out of line with the Word of God, go home. Right? And I'm not saying that to hurt your feelings or to make you leave. What I'm saying is if I'm not preaching the Word and teaching the righteousness of God, don't be listening to me. Jesus, when he first talked to Peter, he said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And Peter dropped his nets and he followed him. Right? He followed him for those 3 years that Jesus taught and he ministered and he saw all the things that he did. And then after the resurrection, I don't know how long after the resurrection all these things happened, but sometime after the resurrection, Peter got tired of waiting around. He said, hey, I got to go back. I got bills to pay, right? I've got to go do some things. I got to go back to something that I'm comfortable with because this Christianity is very difficult here. I don't know where my next morsel of bread's going to go. My Savior was just crucified a couple of days ago, and I don't know where he's at. I really don't. There's only a few accounts in the Scripture that says where Jesus was and what he was doing. And all of those really come right real close to the cross. Right? Now, this is sometime after that. I don't know how long it took Peter to get itchy feet, but it happened to him. I don't know how long it takes each individual after you've accepted Jesus Christ to go have a hunger to go back to what you were doing. But when you know Jesus Christ, remember, you have been bought with a price. You're no longer your own. And when he tells you to go, you must go.
Amen.
Right? You must go. And praise God for that. And so as Peter is talking here, Jesus is talking, Peter says, I go fishing. And they say, we'll go with you. But when morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew him not. Verse 5, and when Jesus said unto them, have ye any meat? Can you almost see the humor here? All right? Jesus on the shore, he says, now, check this out. The Sea of, say that again?
Galilee.
The Sea of Galilee. Tiberias. The Sea of Galilee. It's a big, big body of water. Jesus just happened to be right where they were going to be. After they had worked on, just by chance, just by a roll of the dice, right? No. Jesus knew exactly where they were, exactly what was happening to them. He knew that they had been toiling all night, and he knew that they had no meat. So what's he say? Hey, boys. Sup? Are you catching? How's your old life treating you? Do you really think that you have anything? And Peter, he said, nah, we've been toiling all night, and we've caught nothing. You know, when God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you can toil all night and you won't get nothing.
Amen.
Amen. You won't get nothing. You won't grow. You won't be accomplishing anything for this world or the world to come.
Right.
When you do things your way, that's anti-God's way. All right? Anytime that you put your will in front of God's will, as the body of Christ, you will have no profit in
Amen.
That. You'll toil all night and come up empty every time. Then Jesus says, hey, cast your net on the right side of the ship. Maybe it's time that we need to cast our net on the correct side. We've been fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Amen? We've been telling people other things instead of the kingdom of God. We've been teaching other things than the righteousness and the holiness of God. We've been putting our fingers on our glasses and we can't see. Amen. We've been doing things that are not what God has fully called us to do.
Right.
And we're empty. So God says, hey, it's time to change your casting of the net. It's time to go to the right side of the boat. Listen, there's a principle in the world set by God called sowing and reaping. Right? So you sow out a certain kind of seed, you're going to reap a certain kind of a crop. Who here is sick and tired of the crop in your life? Amen? How you like that? That's a neat word. Play on words. If you're tired of the crop you've been reaping, it's time to change your seed bag. Right? Now, it's going to take a little bit of time. You know, because you've been doing something wrong for a long period of time. We've been understanding the scripture incorrectly for a long period of time. And now it's time to get back into the righteousness of God.
Amen.
It's time that we come to the edge of our religious system, especially if it's not built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Drop the bulldozer blade on it. Scrape all that garbage off and come back to the pureness of the Word of God.
Amen.
All right? And when we do that, we're starting to put our net on the right side of the boat. When we get rid of what we think that the theologians have taught us, when we get rid of the things that Dr. So-and-so, Dr. Seuss, I'll call him that, okay? Dr. Seuss has taught us this. And I'm not saying that Dr. Seuss was trying to hurt your feelings or anything, or even lead you to hell. But there's a lot of people who have a lot of initials in front of their names that don't know the God of the Bible. And they're teaching things that are not strictly scripture. Now there are some that do. Amen? But the vast majority of the highly educated people are not teaching God's word. They're teaching the doctrines of man. And it's time that we get away from that. It's time that we get away from what whoever is teaching, if it does not line up strictly with the word of God. Get away from listening to that. Stop putting that stuff in you. And it's time to cast your net on the correct side of the boat.
Right.
On the right side of the boat. Because on the right side of the boat, there's a catch to be caught. Amen? There's something there that's not in the hierarchy of the educational system. There's something there that's not in the Pharisaical or the Sadducees' understanding of Scripture. There's a realness on the right side of the boat. And we got to make up our mind which side we're going to fit you on.
Amen.
All right? Jesus said, you can work all night and catch nothing. But when you put your net on the correct side of the boat, when you walk in the holiness and the righteousness of God, when you put the fullness of the Scripture in your life, and you apply that Scripture in a real personal way, you will start gaining something.
Amen?
Amen? Now Jesus, he also talked in John chapter 15, and he talked about, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he talked about the Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. When you start putting everything on the right side. When you're connected to the vine. When you're allowing God to trim off the dead stuff. And when he trims off that dead stuff, all of a sudden new life starts to grow. But you got that again is like unto putting your net on the correct side of the boat. On the right side of the boat. Because we've been fishing in our own understanding of what we think the Scripture says instead of just being as square as the Bible. Tell that to a lot of people a lot of times. Hey, folks, I'm as square as the Bible. And they say the Bible ain't square. I didn't say the Bible was square. I said I'm as square as the Bible is. In other words, I only know what the Word of God says. When God said I did everything in 6 days and on the seventh day I rested, guess what that means? 6 days. Everything was done.
Amen.
And then the seventh day he took a break. Not that he needed to. He did that as an example for us. Amen. And again, when he says, I made male and female.
Yes.
How many genders does that make? Two. A boy and a girl. I don't care what you feel like because your feelings are wrong. You're fishing on the wrong side of the boat.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to have the righteousness of the Word of God. When we go back to our old way of life, I go fishing. I go back to something that I was comfortable with. See, the truth of God very seldom is comfortable. You know that?
Uh-huh.
Because it's there to change you. It's there to tear you down. It's there to bring you into tribulation. It's there to bring you into the chastening of the Lord. It's there to show what is righteousness and you're not.
Amen.
And he's there to chasten you into what is righteous.
Amen.
Right? And often we go to the comfortable side. We go to the side that we think we can control.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you, if you're doing that, you're coming up empty.
That's
your
right.
Net is empty every time. So it's time for us as the body of Christ to go to the right side of the boat and to catch a catch. And they, it says, cast your net on the right side of the ship, verse 6. And ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and they were not able to draw in the multitude of fish. Who here wants an abundant blessing from God? More than you can carry. More than you can take. Well, the only way you're going to get that is start fishing on the right side of the boat. Amen? The only way, and it's not your side. Remember, they had to obey what the Bible said, what Jesus said, what the Word of God said. He said, listen, cast your net on the other side, on the right side. You're fishing. And once they did what God told them to do, once they obeyed, all of a sudden there was more than they could contain.
Amen.
How many of you really want that blessing of God? Examine your life.
Amen.
Examine your life. Are you fishing on the wrong side? Are you doing something you know that is anti-God? You're doing something you know that is sin. You're living in a position, you're saying things, you're thinking things, you're holding on to something else of the old life. See, we must die to the flesh.
Amen.
We've got to stop being on that side. Do you know, has anyone ever told you you can be holy? Or do they always say, oh, you're human, you can't help it? Do you think God knew you're a human when he said, be ye holy, for I am holy?
Yeah.
All right? He knew you're a human when he told you to be holy. He knew you were human when he said, be righteous. He knew that you were a human when he said, crucify your flesh.
Right. Amen.
He knew that. The only thing that's lacking is your willingness, and it is a free willingness to do what the Bible says.
Amen.
And we get so comfortable in our way, in our old life. Because really, it is comfortable. What's that, Josh? Sin is pleasurable, isn't it? Sin's pleasurable for a while. For a season. But the end is death.
That's right.
So it's time maybe to change how we're doing things. Mm-hmm. And when you recognize Jesus is telling you, all right? Now that's a big point, because the next thing, the one who loved the Lord, let me ask this, do you love God? Mm-hmm. Amen? Now, let me ask this again. Do you follow his commandments?
Amen.
Are you sure? Amen. I hear some amens out there. I mean, examine yourself. Because if you love him, you obey him.
Right. That's it.
Right? If you love him, you walk with him. If you love him, you live the way the Bible says that a Christian is supposed to work, supposed to live, supposed to speak. You learn to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh.
Amen.
You say you love him, but you don't do what he says, I call you a liar. Amen? You're a liar. You say you love God. You don't walk in the righteousness of God. Liar, liar, and soon your pants will be on fire. Amen? See, there's a holiness that God expects out of the people. When Israel went and started worshiping false gods, you know what God said that they were doing? They had gone a-whoring. They had gone committing adultery against the Most High God. Examine your lives just for a second, where you're sitting. Right now, where you're at, I want you to really think about your lifestyle.
Amen.
Is there anything in your life that God would say, you're worshiping something more than me? I don't know what that is in your life. I know that God continually works things out in my life.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
amen. A couple of weeks ago, it was YouTube. All right? Glory to God. All right? Glory to God. I'm not there anymore. But you know what? He ain't done yet. There's another piece of garbage he's trying to get out of me. Amen? And he's saying, listen, Curtis, and that YouTube may not be for y'all. I think that it is, because anything that comes off of the internet is sent straight out of the belly button of the beast.
Amen.
Amen. And a lot of folks don't believe that. I can't help that. But I'm telling you, there's nothing good on the internet. All right? He's the prince of the power of the air. And that stuff, anyhow, I'm going to jump off that soapbox. What Jesus said, and then after he talked to him about, therefore the disciples said unto Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he girded himself with in his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. When Jesus sees you where you're at, guess what you are? You're naked.
Right.
You ain't hiding nothing from God.
Right.
Peter, he was fishing his old way of life, naked as a jaybird. Right? He wasn't hiding nothing. And when Jesus saw him, guess what he had to do? Time to put on some clothes. It's time to put on some righteousness. It's time to change what you're on. It's time to start doing something a little bit different. And you know, I can, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I cannot control my flesh.
Amen.
Can't do
That's
it.
Right.
But when I am anointed with the garb, my fishing jacket, all right? When I have the holiness of God in me and on me, guess what I have power over?
Sin.
This sin. The sin that so easily besets me. Now I have authority through the power of the cross, through the power of Jesus Christ, to say this far and no further. Now I can't make that happen for you. I can only do that for this vessel. Right? You can only do that for your vessel. You can be holy before God because he said you can be holy before him. You do not have to go there. If you're born again, washed in the Spirit of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're there. Then the Holy Spirit tells you before you get into that sinful situation whether you should do it or not.
That's right.
The question is, are you going to listen to it? Him? Are you going to listen to him? Are you going to obey him? And if you have any doubt about what the Spirit of God is telling you, check it out with the Bible.
Amen.
Because the Spirit of God will never tell you to do something contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
See, it all balances, doesn't it? It all comes back to the place you need to be. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And then after God blesses them with all those fish, See, God brought those fish to them. They didn't do anything but put the right side. They only did the obedience. They stopped fishing on this side. They started fishing on this. I'm getting my right and left right, right? Okay. He started fishing on the right side of the boat, and all of a sudden, God blessed them.
Amen.
With 153 fish. More than they, I mean, and it was immediate that happened. Quick as you start obeying God, getting rid of the old way of life, guess what starts changing? God's blessing in your life.
Amen.
God wants to bless you. God's greatest pleasure is to bless you, to bring joy into your life, to bring a fullness into your life, to meet your need way beyond what you think your need can be met.
Amen.
The problem is, most of us, we're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. But once we obey God, we don't obey the theologian, right? You don't obey me. You don't obey your conscience. You obey the Holy Spirit through the Word of God.
Amen.
When you do that, all of a sudden things start to change.
Yes.
All of a sudden your net starts to get filled. All of a sudden you got more than you can handle. You got more joy. You got more peace. You got more love. You got more patience. You got more goodness. You got more of the fruit of the Spirit than you ever thought you could ever have.
Yes. Amen.
And it starts with one step. The Bible says, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. How about trying that? Do you want to get a little bit closer to Jesus? Amen. When you start walking in obedience, when you start leaning into His Word, when you really believe that His Word is the Word of God, and you say, I must follow God. I must fish on the correct side of the boat. I must live holy because He is holy. I must be a living example unto the world.
Amen.
When we do that, things change.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Doesn't mean that they get easier. They still had to pull the net. Amen. They still had to drag that net to the shore. And they still had to give an account. How many fish did you catch? Jesus asked. Tell me about the catch. Tell me about what I gave you. Oh. Doesn't Jesus talk about that in the talents? Talks to his servants. He says, hey, servants, I give you this. I give you that. I give you 10. I give you 5. I give you 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back after a long journey and he demands an account. What did you do with what I gave you? All right, church. This is going to hurt. All right, but I'm going to put something back in line. Anybody ever have an arm popped out of socket before? You're out of joint? Any nurses here? How do you put that back in joint? Fun, ain't it? But you gotta snatch that thing. And it hurts. Boy, if you're sitting on a couch cushion, it'll suck it all up in the middle. I mean, it hurts. I mean, it there's no fun thing about that until it's back in place. The Word of God is like that. When you hear the truth of God's Word, it may be uncomfortable for a moment, but it will be better if you walk in it.
That's
and then all of a sudden you can use all of your limbs the way you're supposed to. Jesus asked him, bring the fish that you have caught. In verse 11, Peter went and he drew the net net to the land full of great fish and 153. And for all there were so many, and yet was not the net broken. When God tells you to do something and you do it, He supplies the necessary strength to get it done.
That's right.
The net didn't break. Why? Because God told you to fish on the right side of the boat. God supplied a catch that you could not in your own way do it. I've heard theologians say, well, that's how many different species of fish are in the sea. Bite me. Okay? I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. You know what I know it was? It was more than they could do on their own.
That's right.
I believe what the Bible says, that there's a great number of fish.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I've never been to the Sea of Galilee, and I could not tell you how many species of fish are in. And I think anybody who says that they know exactly how many species of fish they're in, they didn't look under the right piece of coral, because there's another one. Right? Again, that's a false doctrine that I've been taught. It's a doctrine of man. It makes you feel good to say that I know how many species of fish there are. No, but if he's honest, I have no idea.
Right.
What I know is the number.
Eight.
And I know that they were all great big.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? I don't know when you walk with an obedience of God exactly what you're going to catch, but I guarantee you it's going to be big. And it's going to be the number that you need the most. All right? And, the first time that Jesus told Peter to cast the net and draw in some fish, there was a debt that he had to pay, right? He owed some money, and he had to pay a debt. And he fished all night, and he couldn't pay the debt. He didn't catch a single fish. Then Jesus said, draw out to the deep again and cast your net. And he got just enough to pay the debt. I don't know, maybe he was in debt again. Who knows? I have no idea. But I know what he caught was exactly what God wanted him to catch. It was the exact number, the exact weight. And whatever it was, it did not break the containment field of Christ. It wasn't more, it wasn't less, it was perfect. And the vessel that he used, the net that he used, it was strong enough. Do you know that whatever God has for you is strong enough?
Amen.
It's strong enough. He's only going to give to you what you can do. Or what he knows that you are faithful to do.
Yes.
He gave to one person 10 talents, gave to another person 5 talents, another person 1 talent, to their own sever, what's that word? Their abilities. I'm not going to get into words I don't know. Amen. Which really cuts down the size of the sermon a lot. And to their own abilities, what they could do. God's only going to give you what you can do.
That's right.
He will give you the responsibility to do what you can do, and the increase will be more than you can expect. But you still got to do by obedience, by fishing on the right side of the boat, or by applying what he said.
Amen.
And then after all that was done, the counting was done, then Jesus says, come and dine. Sit down and eat with me. He still desires that deep relationship. I tell you, you can know people really well, but until you sit down at their table, you really don't know them.
Right.
Until you sit down, you share ice cream, you see it dripping down their beard, and you love them anyhow. Right? You're sitting down, there's ketchup on your shirt and all that kind of stuff, the hot dogs are leaking, but that's okay. Amen? That's where you have good fellowship. You laugh, you joke.
Mm-hmm.
That all happens when you sit down and dine. And Jesus says, hey, when you walk with me, when you're fishing on the right side of the boat and the blessings start coming in, don't forget me.
Amen.
Come here. Sit down. The coals are warm. The fire's hot. The water to drink is there. The food to eat is there. Chill out with me, son. Don't you know God wants that deep relationship with you right now?
Amen.
You know what's stopping you from having that relationship with God? Point at yourself. It's you. It's you. The only reason that you don't have the deep relationship that you want with God isn't because God didn't do enough. He did plenty. It was more than the cross. It's more than the resurrection. He told you, if you want to have a right relationship with me, fish on the right side of the boat.
Amen.
If you want to have a right relationship with me, be sure to give an account with what I gave you. If you want to have a right relationship with me, don't worry about the work. Sit down and dine with me.
That's right.
Oh, praise God. Gave me just chill bumps right there. Isn't that so cool? I love it when the Lord does that. He wants that deep relationship with you. But see, you got to take your will and turn it into his will.
Amen.
Amen. You got to walk in the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of your thoughts, your ways. See, your way is not going to equal what God's way is.
No.
Preach past that. Praise God. It is good. So most of the time when I open to my notes, I realize I hadn't even started. I'm already into my third page here. Woo-hoo! And so Jesus asked, when they came to land, they saw the fire, they saw the coals, the fish was laid on there, and there was bread. Remember back in Matthew 6 and 6:33, I think. The Father knows that you have a need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Amen.
See, God knew what they needed. You know what they needed to do? Start seeking God's will.
That's it.
God already knows what you need. He knows, and He's ready to pour it out on you. He's ready to give it to you. But what we got to do is start doing what God tells us to do.
Amen.
Seeking the righteousness of God.
Amen.
In that, you know, that Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. What He's talking about, the things that are added is food, clothing, and shelter. And He says, if you are seeking My will, I'm going to protect you. Now, you may not live in a huge mansion, but I guarantee you shelter.
That's
you know what? A tent shelter. Amen. But I would rather have a tent and be with Christ than have a mansion and be without Him.
Amen.
Because the mansions are coming. Amen.
Yeah.
These things that are on this world, in this earth, do not really matter that much to God.
No.
We need to have a kingdom mentality.
Amen.
That's why Jesus, while He was on the earth the last 40 days, He taught them the things that pertain to the kingdom. This teaching here that He was teaching Peter and the other disciples was pertaining to the kingdom of God. So listen, folks, you can't rely on what you see. You can't say, let's go a fishing, unless you're going to be a fisher of men. But since they went fishing, God says, I love you enough to supply for your need.
Amen.
I know that you went fishing. You couldn't catch nothing on your own. But in Me, I'll give you an abundance. But you got to be fishing on the right side of the boat. Again. Then Jesus starts, He's not really picking on Peter, but He's really talking to Peter in a deep understanding. And so, in this love, and we've all heard that, there's the difference between agapeo and friendship and real love. All right, I don't know Greek, so I'm not going to use it. All right, I barely speak American, so I don't speak English. Would you like to have a spot of tea? That's English, yeah. I want a spot right here, put it there, or it can't come out. Anyhow, all right, we got to be seeking God with all of our heart. Right? We got to be seeking Him with all. And Jesus asked Simon Peter, lovest thou Me? Do you agape Me? Do you really, really, really love Me? Now this love is the same love that goes into the greatest commandment. All right, the greatest commandment from Deuteronomy 6:5 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Mark, when he repeats this in Mark 12:30, thou shalt love the God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Right?
Amen.
So you look at those, and we say we love God. I already asked you already said that you love God. Now God, did He already know that Peter was very fond of Him?
Yes.
But He said, do you love Me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you, Peter, do you love Me? Do you love Me more than these? Ask yourself that. What are these to you? Look at your life. Ask yourself, do I love God more than I love cable TV? Do I love God more than I love golf? Do I love God more than I love fishing? Right? Do I love God more than the religious pharisaical church? That's between you and God.
That's right.
I know I had to settle this in my heart.
Yes, amen.
All right, I had to settle it. And God broke me over this week. Curtis, do you love Me more than these? And I looked at my life and I said, God, I'm so sorry I've put these above You. Help Me, God.
Amen.
Help Me, God.
Amen.
Because I need to change. People, you know, I read the Bible a lot, but I could do it more. Mm-hmm. I believe the Bible a lot, but I could believe it more. I say I love God, but you know what? I could love Him more. You know, I say I love you guys, but I could love you more. Right?
Amen.
I could. So what's stopping that from happening? Well, it's not Jesus. It's Me. It's Me. It's Me. It's mine. And Jesus says, listen, this is how you'll know that you really love Me. Feed My lambs. Mm-hmm. Take care of the little ones, the young Christians. Don't beat them up because they don't know what you know.
That's right.
Love them where they are at. Love people in the middle of the mess.
Amen.
Right? Love them until they grow.
Yeah.
And then he asked him again. Twice Jesus uses the word agape, that perfect, that love from God. Do you love me? Do you love me? And each time Peter says, you know, I'm really fond of you.
Yeah.
I like you a whole lot, man. We and you, we're tight, but if they were making rock and roll music back in that day, it says, Jesus is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? From who was that? That was, I think so.
Yeah. That was Jesus is just all right.
Jesus is just all right. But anyhow. But anyhow, praise God, I couldn't remember it. Woo! God's doing something. And so, in all of that, he says, listen, Peter, do you really, really love me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your might? Do you love me that way? He says, Jesus, I'm really fond of you. But you know, I just went fishing. I'm fond of you, God. I love you, but I haven't decided to give up my old life of fishing and really feed your lambs yet. And then Jesus asked him again, do you love me? And Jesus says, feed the ones that are a little bit older, feed the sheep. If you really love me, then tend to the other Christians that are around you.
Amen.
If you really love him, church, if you really love him, church, then you will tend to the body of Christ.
Right.
You'll tend to his sheep. He doesn't say tend to the world.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say tend. Now, there's another place where he says that, yeah, this is the Great Commission. Go and baptize and teach. We all know that. We know to bring the gospel message, the good news to the lost. But if you want to have the right relationship with God, then love God's people. Right? When Paul was persecuting the church and Jesus met him on the Damascus Road, God said, why are you persecuting me? Now, Saul wasn't persecuting Christ. He was persecuting Christians. See, God takes that personally.
Amen.
When we do not love the body of Christ, and people, things are going to get hard soon. Food's going to become less and less. Lumber's already out of the world. There's an inflation that's coming in the world system, and you know what we're going to need? The body
Amen.
Of believers.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
We're going to need folks bringing eggs. Amen. We're going to need folks who know how to work a hammer. Because pretty soon you won't be able to use your pneumatic nails, which would have saved your son from shooting a nail through his finger. Because I guarantee you, if you're driving a nail, you ain't going to drive it through your finger. Hit it one time, you'll stop. Whoop, that hurts. But what God is saying, listen, if you really want this right relationship with me, if you want this love with God, then love take care of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Right? We need to take care of one another. We need to love each other.
That's right. We need an intimate
relationship. Yeah. And how do I know I have an intimate relationship with God? It's how I have an intimate relationship with you. Right?
By wanting to do his will.
Yeah.
Keep his commandments.
Not just wanting to do it, but doing it.
Right.
Because you can want to do something and not do it. Any of you ever wanted to do something and didn't do it? Amen. Right? But I guarantee you something. If you really, really, really wanted to do it, you did it.
Yeah.
And so in the body of Christ, we are to love each other.
Amen.
Even if we don't like one another. Amen? Me and my sister over there, we disagree. We lock horns. But you know what? I love her, and I
and
will
I love
fight.
You too.
I will fight to the death for her to have what she believes. Well, I will fight to the death that she can have a platform to say what she needs to say. I'll do that for any of you. Why? Because I love you. I don't have to agree with you. Amen? He doesn't say, if you love me, agree with the brethren. No, he says, if you love me, feed them. Teach them the right thing. Pour your life out into them in a real personal way. And he keeps talking, and then he asks them, when Jesus asked him this the last time, he uses the brotherly love type. And he said, when verse 17, he said, Simon, unto Simon the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Are you really friendly with me? I mean, I understand that this agape thing, you're not quite grabbing, but do you really, are you really my buddy? Are you my friend? What did Jesus say that it was going to take to be his friend? Anyone? John chapter 14? Obey my commandments. All right, if you want to be my friend, you want to call yourself the friend of God, then you need to obey his commandments. So Jesus comes down off of agape to friendship. Listen, Pete, you say that you are my friend. Here's my commandment to you.
Amen.
Feed my sheep. Take care of them. Feed them. Treat them with kindness and respect.
That's right.
Then he says, listen, when you're young, you put on, you when you were, before you were born again, you did what you wanted to do. Right? And he's talking about when he was young, you girded yourself. You went where you wanted to go. Listen, before I was born again, before I was surrendered to Jesus Christ, before I was fishing on the right side of the boat, guess what I did? Exactly what I wanted to do. Amen. So if I wanted to go hunting, guess where I went? I went hunting. If I wanted to go fishing, guess where I went? I went. If I wanted to go to work, that's what I did. If I wanted to lay around the house, lay around the shack until the mail train came back, guess what I did? I rolled in my sweet baby's arms, right? I did what I wanted to.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus is saying, Peter. Before you knew me as Lord, you did what you, when you were a child, you did what you wanted to do. Paul said, when I was a child, I did things as a child. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. When I grew up, church, it's time for us to put away some childish things in our life. We need to start really believing what he says. You walk where you want. Thou shalt stretch forth your hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wilt. And he was signifying the death. That he should glorify God. If we really feed the flock of God, if we really walk with God, if we really expect to die. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. Yeah, you are no longer your own. You are a slave to the Most High God.
Amen.
God says there's a cost to following me. And it may cost your life. There's coming a time, church, and I think we're really close to that time that Jesus talked about in the end times. Your brother is going to be betraying you, right? I really believe that we are so close to that time with this whole vaccine, with this whole virus thing that's happening right now, that this is the onset of the time that they're going to come against the body of Christ in a vicious way. And you know what we need to do? Feed my sheep.
Amen.
Jesus said, follow me.
Yes.
Don't worry about the virus. Follow him. Amen. Don't worry about the vaccine.
Amen.
Follow him.
Amen.
Don't worry about what the world thinks about you. Follow him.
That's right.
The world, listen, the world already doesn't like you.
Right.
So stop fishing on that side of the boat. It's time to put your net on the right side of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
It's time, church, that the church gets real with Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's time to tighten up. Because there's coming a day where we're going to have to pull the net ashore.
Yeah.
We're going to give an account of what you did with this Jesus. Did we really love Or did we really like him? See, Peter never said that he agape'd the Lord. That kind of love. He never said he did that. He said, I'm your friend. I'm your friend, Jesus. You know I like you. You're my buddy. I was with you when you healed that leopard, friend. I was with you when I walked on the water with you, Jesus. You know you're my pal. And if you're even just the pal of Jesus, feed his sheep. Care to one another. Love one another.
Amen.
Pour your lives out for one another in a real way. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you're following him.
That's right.
Something else Jesus said, and I did not read this portion of scripture. I held off on it on purpose. How often do we do what Peter's about ready to do? Peter turned about and he seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? So you know he's talking about John here, right? And Peter saith, seeing him, saith to the Lord Jesus, and what shall this man do? All right, I'm supposed to feed the sheep. What's he going to do? All right, I'm here scrubbing the toilets. What are they doing?
Mary and Martha.
Amen, Mary and Martha, right? Stop worrying about what somebody else is doing.
What's that to you?
That's the next words,
I love
right?
It.
What is that to you? What business,
no business
is that to you? I'm not supposed to judge another man's servant. That's not my job. It's not my concern. What you're doing, what am I doing?
That's it.
The word of God is very personable.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and Jesus said, what if I will that he tarry till I come? What is that to thee?
That's right.
Follow thou me.
Amen.
Right? Church, stop worrying about what the other church is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Stop worrying about what somebody else is doing, what somebody else is teaching, what somebody, and that's somebody else.
Yeah.
You follow him.
Amen.
You follow him.
Yeah.
If you follow him, guess where you're going to end up? Wherever he is.
Yes.
If you follow Jesus, you feed the flock, you love the people that God tells you to love, guess where you're going to wind up? Right in the middle of his will. Right where you need to be. Now, does that mean you'll have to go through some tribulation? Well, Jesus said, yeah, you're going to go through some tribulation. Suck it up, buttercup. It's going to happen. Don't think that you won't be in trouble. Don't think you won't go through this. Don't think that you won't see the son of perdition. Don't think that that's not going to happen. Jesus, when Jesus said you're going to see it, I don't care what the theologian says. He says you're going to see it.
Amen.
I believe you're going to see it. And guess what? If I'm wrong, that's okay. You know why? I'm going to continue to feed the sheep of God.
Amen.
I'm going to continue to love the lambs where they're at.
Yeah.
I'm not here to beat you. I'm here to edify you. I'm here to lift you up. Then he went down, saying abroad among the brethren, that was that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry. Right. See how false doctrine started? This is back when Jesus was still on the earth and they were teaching
right.
False doctrine.
Yeah.
Right? Because they were saying that, oh, John's not going to die until Jesus comes back. But that's not what Jesus said. And John fixes that here. I love that. You know what? If you read the Bible, you believe what it says, it's going to fix false doctrine.
That's right.
No? But you got to get away from what other people say it says. Amen. What you pointing to, my brother? You can hold it up. You got it. Believe this.
Amen.
Believe the word of God. Right? Don't believe what somebody tells you the word of God says. Read it for yourself.
Amen.
And be simple. People, stop trying to be so smart. Be simple. It's better. I would rather be a fool and be educated by God than be educated and be a fool to God. What's that to you? Follow me. Who you following? Where are you going? What you doing? I see you got a song there. What you got?
Where he leads, I'll follow.
Oh, amen.
321.
Amen. I love Bill over there because I never have a way to finish these things. You know? And Bill, he knows when I've gone about 30 minutes past, he says, hey, find you one of these, let's sing a song. And so,
that's the most servant for you.
Amen. What that was three what?
321. Where he leads, I'll follow.
Amen. Stand to your feet. Sing like you mean it.
I don't know if I know this song.
Okay, we're beside. beside each other.
Okay.
Sweeter than promises. Spoken to us. Father, I pray that we would do what you have told us to do, that we would follow where you have told us to follow. Lord, help us to walk in the footsteps of Christ. Help us to lean into you and not on our own understanding. Father, I'm asking that you would touch the hearts of the body of Christ, that we would be fishing on the right side of the boat.
Yes.
Father, help me to die to myself, to my will.
Yes.
Help me not to do what I want to do, but lead me, Lord, into your righteousness.
Yes.
We thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, anyway.